It's again my joy to continue with our sermon series on assurance in Christ, seeing through the eyes of Jesus. And so today we're going to talk about the temptation of Jesus. So let's begin by opening our Bibles to Luke chapter 4. We're going to read this together. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, if it has been for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, unless you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Such good Anglicans or non-Anglicans. We are on the second part of our sermon series. I just got back from Bangkok. We had a church camp from another congregation. It was a wonderful time of bonding, worship, praying, and receiving spiritual food, and of course, eating delicious food. This is a picture of a dessert I had in Siam. Actually, it was my only lunch. I had a lunch. This is my only lunch. It was really delicious. Have you heard of fluffy pancakes? Oh, yes. Michelle is agreeing, yes. And so is Heidi. Heidi is a pancake expert. So it's Grand Pancake at Siam Paragon. Anyone been to Grand Pancake? No? No? Only me. Okay. They opened a branch at Vivo City. It is so fluffy that it looks like this. Look at that. It is so tempting, isn't it? In Bangkok, it was very difficult for me to stick to my diet because you are faced with many temptations of good food. Unlike Jesus, who was tempted in the desert, Bangkok was my dessert experience. Okay. A lot of you look at me, rolling their eyes. Okay. But you know, in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, we see that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit after being baptized in the River Jordan. Instead of starting his ministry with a big bang, like going to the towns to cast out demons, heal the sick, and raise the dead, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert. Isn't it strange that it was the Spirit of God who led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil? Couldn't Jesus have avoided the desert and go directly to the towns and start his ministry? Why does God allow it to happen to his only son, to Jesus, the Son of God? But God the Father saw it appropriate for Jesus to undergo the 40 days of testing in order to prepare him for greater things. Jesus being tempted and overcoming the ploys of the evil one is also a pattern for all of us Christians. We live a desert life of struggles, of testing and trials, but God has enabled us to overcome potential pitfalls. We can look and call out to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, for he himself suffered when he was tempted and is able to help those who are being tempted. Last Sunday, Deaconess Bessie preached on how Jesus walked in our shoes. Jesus knows our every struggle and is able to identify with our human failures, our human frailness. The author of Hebrews in chapter 4 wrote, We do not have a high priest. We do not have Jesus who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. This afternoon, we will learn from Jesus how we can overcome temptation and be set free from the snares of our enemy. Who would like to live a life of freedom here? Anyone? Only a few, the front seaters. I hope all of us want to live a life of freedom and victory. So let us dig into God's word. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this time. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you direct this service, direct our hearts, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of hearts will be pleasing to you. And Lord, we will not just be hearers of your word. We want to be doers of your word, because your word bring life. Your word will bring victory and freedom to each one of us. Thank you, Lord. So I commit my brothers and sisters this afternoon into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is a picture of Mount Temptation in Jerusalem. You can actually go take a flight and visit there. It's a tourist site. There's a monastery there. It's part of the Judean desert. The exact location where Jesus was tempted is unknown, but I can surmise it must have been a very grueling and punishing environment. We try to imagine what Jesus, who has the same human weakness like you and me, must have gone through. The blistering hot desert sun with the frigid night winds must place a great toil on any man, including Jesus. The desert ground must have been hard and agonizing against Jesus' body. So Jesus grew weaker and hungrier by the day. Friends, isn't this world that we are living in, it's like a harsh desert, isn't it? In this world, don't the hurtful comments of our enemies, our bosses, our schoolmates, our colleagues, friends, and even loved ones blister our hearts? Don't mounting bills, prospect of pay cuts, exams, or retrenchment clam us like the frigid night winds? Don't the brutal hardness of diseases, stress, and aging, friends, you guys can relate with me, right? No. Aging further wear our already brittle bodies. In addition to the physical discomfort and agony experienced by Jesus in the desert and by us in the world, we have the devil, Mr. Satan. Satan, the devil, who taunts and tempts us. It must have been a terrible and lonely experience for any man, even for our Lord Jesus, the Son of God. But Jesus was not alone. Luke recorded for us that the Holy Spirit was there to strengthen him. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and led by the Spirit. It is interesting to note that Jesus was empty with no physical food. He was hungry, but yet he was filled and guided by the spiritual power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Likewise, we may feel so alone and hungry in this desert world, but we can draw our strength from the Holy Spirit. He's our helper, he's our comforter, and our help and our guide as we journey in this desert world of life. As I mentioned, we have the enemy, the devil, who tried to tempt and defeat Jesus. So it must have been a daily battle between Jesus and the devil. But the devil revealed his most tantalizing arsenal of temptation at the end of 40 days, by which Jesus was at his weakest and hungriest. It is a typical strategy, friends, of the devil to attack us when we are at our lowest and weakest. Doesn't temptation come when we are at our most vulnerable and desperate moment? Doesn't the offer of an illicit income come when we are deep in financial debt? Doesn't the prospect of an extramarital affair come when our marriages are on the rocks? Doesn't the urge to cheat or find unethical shortcuts come when we are pressed to perform in our studies and our work? Friends, what temptations do you face? Lust, pride, wrath, jealousy, bitterness, greed. The list is endless for the fallibility and the wretchedness of men. The great German reformer Martin Luther once said that we cannot avoid temptations. They are like birds in the air. We cannot prevent them from flying over our heads, but there is no need for us to invite them and let them build a nest in our hair. That looks like most of us early in the morning, isn't it? A bird nest. We must not entertain temptations and allow the devil to have a stronghold in our lives. The devil has been in the business of tempting since the beginning of time. Who is the devil? Who is our enemy? We must know our enemy so that we can overcome and battle against his schemes, his evil schemes and ploys. Jesus called the devil the accuser, the slanderer, the father of lies, who aimed to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil also masquerades, friends, as an angel of light to exploit and deceive people. As Christians, we must know who is our enemy and how he operates. Before the creation of humankind, Lucifer, the devil, incited a third of the angels to rebel against God. They were cast down to earth as demons, and their job, what is their job? Is to enslave people in sin and draw them away from God. In the story of the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3, the devil tempted Eve to eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The devil is a crafty creature, and understand the key weaknesses of us humans. He knows how to target our three vulnerable areas: stomach, eyes, and heart. My stomach, that's my weakest. There is a similarity between how the devil tempt Adam and Eve and Jesus. However, the outcomes are totally different, with Adam and Eve failing while Jesus triumphing over the devil's temptation. Let us see how the devil targets our weak spots and how we can prevail over them. The first temptation targeted at our stomach, at Jesus' stomach, knowing that he was without food for 40 days. Can you imagine? Are you hungry now? No. After showing that picture of the pancake? No. Because you're a few hours, you probably had your breakfast or even... But Jesus, 40 days. Can you just imagine? 40 days. He was hungry, weak, and vulnerable. Luke simply recorded for us that Jesus was hungry. Jesus was hungry. At the fall of man, Satan also targeted Eve's stomach, and she responded in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, that the tree was good for food. She gave in to Satan's temptation because she was hungry for one thing that is forbidden, than being satisfied with all the many fruit trees in the garden. Can you just imagine, you're Eve? God has placed you in this beautiful paradise. There are thousands of trees you can pluck the fruits from. But God gives just one simple instruction. Don't eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But, of course, you know the story. Eve gave in to that temptation. In contrast, we have Jesus, who was hungry. Eve had access to all these fruit trees, while Jesus was hungry. But he hungered for greater things. He hungered for righteousness. He hungered for righteousness. The devil said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of Man, you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus rebuked the devil that man does not live on bread alone. It was not wrong to eat bread or feed yourself, but it was wrong to give in to the devil's challenge to change stone to bread. During those difficult 40 days, Jesus could have changed anything he found in the desert into food. He could change the cactus into fluffy pancakes. He could change the sand into porridge or, I don't know, risotto, whatever. He could change anything he found. He could have hunted, cooked some wild animals. He could have even returned home to Nazareth. "Oh, I have enough of this. Go back to Nazareth." And he could have been greeted with a sumptuous spread by Mary, his earthly mother. But Jesus did not. Because, friends, because the 40-day desert experience was a, necess- a necessary period of spiritual testing and preparation. It was necessary. He did not want to give in to the devil's temptation. The temptation was basically this, friends. Since you are the Son of God, why are you so deprived? Why are you suffering? You're entitled to be fed. You're entitled to be comfortable. Why don't you use your divine power to improve your dire circumstances? Do I sound sinister? No. Yeah. However, Jesus chose not to allow the devil to manipulate and define his identity. Friends, sometimes we allow the devil and the world to define our identity. Being the Son of God does not mean that Jesus must always lead an easy path of comfort and convenience. In actuality, Jesus' identity and purpose as the Christ, as the Messiah, is the way of the cross, a path of righteousness, a path of agony and sacrificial death for the atonement of you and me, for all of us. The 40-day desert experience is to prepare Jesus for the Passion Week and for his glorious death and sacrifice. Aren't you glad that Jesus did not take the easy way out, take the shortcut and give in to the devil's temptation? We will still be dead in sin. If Jesus, he did not take the easy way out. Jesus was hungry. He hungered for righteousness. He hungered to obey and do the will of God. The devil's temptation is very familiar for us today. He's like saying, okay, I'm using my sinister voice again. If you are the child of God, okay, maybe forget it. If you are the child of God, why are you suffering? Why don't you take control of your life and do something about it? Why a bother about self-denial, discipline, and obeying God? Why pray? Why fast? Why spend time reading God's word? Why suffer? Why pursue righteousness? Why be holy? Just give in to your desires, your personal comfort, your convenience, your satisfaction, your gratification are more important than what God has in store for you. But thankfully, Jesus rebuked the devil with the words from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, God recounted how the Israelites was tested for 40 years in the desert, and they were provided with manna, bread from heaven. Similarly, Jesus was being tested in righteousness for 40 days, but he draws his strength from God and not physical food. This is a great lesson for us all. Our earthly possession and resources, our status, our reputation, all this, our credentials, do not sustain us for the long haul. Physical food may keep us alive biologically, but spiritual food keeps us righteous and sustains us for the long haul, for eternity. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Remember this when we are faced with temptations. Jesus is the bread of life who satisfies our souls emotionally, spiritually, and eternally. Physical pleasures will satisfy us for a short while and make us hungry again and again and again and again. They will even lead to the path of eternal destruction. But Jesus' way is of eternity and righteousness. So friends, let us be hungry for righteousness. Are you hungry for God? The second temptation targeted at Jesus' eyes. Our eyes are vulnerable because we are attracted by things of beauty, status, and magnificence. At the fall of in Genesis, Eve succumbed to Satan's temptation when she saw that the fruit was a delight to the eyes. She fixed her eyes on something that appeared rich and beautiful on the surface. But sadly, once bitten and devoured and digested, it led to poverty and spiritual death. Many things in this world look delightful, but they will lead to destruction and contempt. The devil tried to tempt Jesus with beautiful and wondrous treasures. He brought Jesus up to the high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. Satan, the devil has authority to grant these kingdoms to Jesus because the Bible tells us that he is the ruler of the world and the prince of the power of the air. The devil once again tried to distract Jesus' true identity as the Christ. He was offering another shortcut. Shortcut for Jesus to be ruler. However, for the path for Jesus to be ruler of all is the way of the cross. Earlier on, Barnaby led us in prayer and he quoted a scripture from Philippians that Jesus will be exalted at his name. Every knee shall bow that he is Lord. And that way, that exaltation is through the cross. No shortcut, friends. No shortcuts. And there's no shortcuts to receiving true treasure. No shortcuts to Christian discipleship and spiritual formation. I won't be giving you 10 steps to Christian discipleship. There isn't such a formula for Christian formation and discipleship. No shortcuts. The devil's temptation to Jesus must have been an awesome sight to behold of grand palaces, mighty armies, and multitudes of people. How about us today? Aren't we bombarded with images of worldly pleasures which are often contrary to God's values? On our streets, shopping centers, TV, social media. Once you take out Instagram, you see all this. It depends who you follow, lah. Yeah. If you follow the food bloggers, you get all this food. If you follow, you know, the fashion influencer, all these material things. So we are constantly bombarded with images of decadent materialism, which serves to instill covetousness in us. When I was in Bangkok, I was constantly reminded. What was I constantly reminded to? To pray? No, not really. To shop, eat, and shop. It's just basically that. So, isn't a good place to for a church camp. It was very hard to have a church camp there, you know. We often lose sight of what is important as we pursue wholeheartedly for these so-called treasures. We must earn more money, upgrade, level up, outdo each other to accumulate the treasures of this world. Sadly, many have forfeited their souls to gain the world. Jesus rebuked the devil by declaring from Deuteronomy, another passage from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. It is written, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and with him only shall you serve." Once again, Jesus used scripture to counter the devil's schemes. Jesus proclaimed that Yahweh is the only true God who is worthy of worship. God is our true treasure. Friends, God is our true treasure. He is our only treasure. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 reminds us that no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Friends, who do we serve? Who do we worship? Do we worship God on Sunday and Mammon the rest of the week? Do we easily put aside our Christian values and ethics in pursuit of worldly gains and status? Are there things in our lives that we value more? Let us fix our eyes on the true treasure that is God Himself. Let us pursue true treasures of His kingdom that cannot be stolen or destroyed. For me, as a pastor, I do funerals and wake. It is a very sad occasion. And it always is a reminder to me We come into this world as a naked baby. And we will leave this world without our earthly possessions, without our credentials, our bank accounts, our possessions. So it's a reminder for us. Who do we worship? What kind of treasure do we try to seek to accumulate? So only God is worthy of our worship. The third temptation targeted at Jesus' heart. This is my last point. The devils played with Jesus' faith and trust in God, knowing that he's the beloved Son of God. The devil tried to make Jesus question God's goodness and faithfulness. At the fall of man, Satan used a similar scheme with Eve. Did God actually say, "You shall not eat any tree in the garden"? He added, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Unfortunately, Eve doubted God's goodness and thought God was withholding something better from her. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 recorded Eve's response. The tree was to be desired to make one wise. The devil makes us doubt that God is good and faithful. He makes us question that God's word is true and trustworthy. Someone once said that the decision to sin always begins with doubting that what God says for my life is best. Let me repeat that again. Someone once said that the decision to sin is to always begin with doubting that what God says for my life is best. Is your choice to sin against God comes from doubting his goodness and faithfulness for your life? So we know that the devil is a faith stealer. He steals, he degrades, and finally destroys our trust in God. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says that the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. On the other hand, Jesus offers life of abundance in God's goodness. Choose to trust God rather than the lies and doubts of the devil. The devil tried to make Jesus doubt God's goodness and faithfulness. He challenged Jesus to throw himself off the top of the temple. There's a Jewish tradition that the Messiah will appear at the top of the temple. So that's why the devil brought Jesus on top of the temple. Surely God will not allow his son, his beloved son, to hurt himself. The devil wanted Jesus to prove that God is faithful, but such a test does not prove faithfulness, but foolishness. It is interesting to note that the devil is quoting scriptures, in particular from Psalm 91, verse 11, to justify his temptation over Jesus. When the devil says, "For it is written," it reminds us that the devil is a Bible expert. He has a PhD in Bible. Okay? And he knows how to twist scriptures out of their context. So we need to be mindful. We need to be cautious. Do we know God's word enough when the devil uses scriptures to challenge us? Can we counter it with God's word, God's truth? We must be careful not to allow God's word to be misused for hidden and illegitimate agendas. I hope you will take the study of God's word very seriously. As a side promo, I just want to encourage you. DCBS is coming. DCBS is a diocesan of Certificate of Biblical Studies. When I was a Christian, that helped me a lot. It really nourished my faith. So I had a bank, you know, like a deposit of knowledge, of God's knowledge. So once I face temptations or certain things that, you know, there's wrong teachings, I can withdraw from my bank of God's word, and I'm able to interact and I'll be able to counter it. So I just want to encourage you. It's starting in July. You can go to our website to find out, DCBS, to really study God's word and apply it in your life. So Jesus rebuked the devil once again with scriptures. This time he quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. The place of Massah is an account in Exodus chapter 17, where the Israelites grumble and complain about God's goodness. They doubted God's faithfulness in caring for them and bringing them to the promised land. It was wrong for the Israelites to test the Lord. Jesus will not give in to the devil's temptation to test God's faithfulness and goodness. How about us, friends? Do we test God? When we test God, we are saying that we do not trust him. When we test God, we doubt his goodness. We can be guilty of testing God when we challenge God with our prayers that seem to speak of faithfulness, but in truth, they reveal our lack of trust in God. Let me give you some examples of such prayers. Dear Lord, if you make me rich, I'll give more to the church. Dear Lord, if I get that job promotion, I will influence people to know about you. Dear Lord, if I get good grades, I will have more time to read the Bible. Dear Lord, if I am healed of this sickness, I will serve you all the rest of my life. Aren't these prayers similar to the devil's challenge to Jesus to test God's faithfulness? We are bargaining with God. We are testing his goodness and faithfulness. Our attitude should be like Jesus, who does not test God with faithless prayers. Instead, our prayers should be like such. Dear Lord, regardless of my financial situation, I will give you cheerfully. Dear Lord, regardless of my job position, I will share your love and uphold your values in my workplace. Dear Lord, regardless of my grades, I will read your word diligently. Dear Lord, regardless of my health, I will serve you in my weakness and in my strength. Dear Lord, I trust you no matter what. Dear Lord, I trust you no matter what. Can we honestly pray that prayer? Dear Lord, I trust you no matter what. Jesus resisted this temptation because he was governed by God's word and filled with the Holy Spirit. This too give us Christians, you and me, the necessary resources for victory, the Spirit and the word. At the end of the devil's tempting, we see a glorious picture of Jesus' triumph over the devil. He overcame the tempter. Hallelujah! And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. In the power of the Spirit. Later on, we will depart from this prayer hall. We will go back, have lunch, perhaps at Funan. Just open. Go back tomorrow, go back to school, to your homes, to your workplace. You go back to the desert world of life. If you are trusting only on your own strength, let me tell you, friends, you will give in to temptation and you will, in a way, be defeated. But if you have the Word and the Spirit together, hand in hand, Holy Spirit, Holy Word, I promise you, you will live a life of victory, of freedom, of deliverance. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, and I just want to give you an opportunity to talk to God. Some of us here, we live in a desert world. All of us, actually, including myself. We are faced with many temptations. And sometimes we give in to temptations. Out of weakness, out of foolishness, out of faithlessness. Today, I want to tell you, you can come back to God. You can come back to his forgiveness. You can come back to his grace. And I also mentioned about we need the Holy Spirit and we need the Holy Word. Hand in hand, we really need the Holy Spirit. If you have been running on empty, living out your life, trust, using your own strength, and you're faced with the struggles of the world, you give in so easily and you condemn yourself. Oh, why am I like this? I hate myself. It's a constant battle. Give in, feel defeated, condemn, come to church, feel good sometimes, but in the end, inside you're still dry to the bone. You're still hungry. Hungry to fill up the desires, your own personal desires. But I want to encourage you, friends, to hunger for righteousness, to hunger for the Spirit. I'm just going to be, as the music plays, I'm just going to let you talk to God. You talk to God. The Lord is here this afternoon. What are you hungry for?